Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, our last episode of Season 2, and we'll be making sure to hit you up with all the current NBA news. We'll be discussing the likelihood of Anthony Davis joining the Celtics, whether the Celtics this season can crack 65 wins, and we'll be discussing the more and more interesting story of Jimmy Butler and where he lands in the offseason. We'll also be touching on LeBron's MVP chances, we'll be going through the recent GM survey, and whether Andre Robertson's knee surgery will leave the Thunder behind. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this episode, final episode of Season 2, how exciting, of Just Ball Things. With me today, as ever, from the sunny Vietnam, we have Jack Manuel, J-Man, JBT.
Yeah, that's me.
Yep, you. How are you?
Do you remember, it's been a week, Nick. Have you, forgotten my name or something? Like, what's going on with your
words?
Well,
I always introduce you as Jack Manuel, but then I realize that I probably should preface the face before the face. So, the preface. I'm pretty sure it's preface, but whatever. With J-Man. Anyway, yeah. I am meandering. And that's not the right... Oh, I don't know. I'm fine form today. My name is Nick Busink. And I made dinner for my lovely girlfriend yesterday. And
what did you make?
I made a nice pasta that I had in Italy. And it reminded me back... It took me back. Hashtag TBT. White girl things. It was a cacio e pepe sauce.
Hey,
now, I want you to say that with me, Jack. Cacio e pepe.
Cacio e pepe.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. I'll give you.
I've had cacio e pepe.
Cacio e pepe. First time making it. A little bit too salty, but that's classic. Right. That's classic me. But it turned out beautiful. It was still very nice. Lovely dinner, and it was fantastic. Just call me Shay Nick.
Just pasta things.
Yes.
We could probably do an entire podcast about pasta with you. We know our off topics, which have been few and far between. We will be bringing them back throughout the season.
We'll be bringing them back during the season. Yep. The show goes back to normal. We've got JBT of the week. Yeah, maybe some new additions.
It's coming very soon. This is the final episode of season two. Make sure you get those emails in if you want us to talk about anything. We do it. We are shameless. We will bow to your knees.
I mean, the name is Just Ball Things, but really, it's everything. We really need a name change.
My friends have said, you don't just talk about Just Ball Things. And I'm like, well, it sounds cool.
It's JBT, mate. JBT.
Speaking of things that sound cool, let's do the Busink Manuel scale yet again.
Indeed. All right, for those of you who are new, there's a JBT created scale. Sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. A lot of rumors going out. A lot of news. So we like to scale it on a alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact. All right, so inspired by Donny T there.
Wrong.
First one here, mate. Bit of Celtics talk on this pod today, being the exciting team that they are. There was a bit of a report that Kyrie Irving was scouting Anthony Davis, mate.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I know. So Anthony Davis joining the Celtics would just be unfair.
Yeah, I'm actually going to answer this with a fact straight away, Nick,
just
rather than forgetting.
Straight up fact. We don't even need to deliberate about this one. This is just, oh my God.
It would be insane.
It's almost as if a Kevin Durant type character went to, I don't know, like a... Just off the top of my head, 73-9 win team. That's just the first thing that comes to my head.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing that needs to be prefaced, Nicholas.
Hey.
Prefaced with this is the fact that
Davis
can't join the team because the Boston Celtics have two, in terms of the contract status. So Kyrie's in due for a max contract, and Davis will be due for a max contract soon. So they can't have those two guys on their book. So this wouldn't happen this season, even if a trade were to occur. So it's more likely to happen in the offseason or next season. Though I don't, we've spoken about Anthony Davis before. I believe it's even the last podcast or the podcast before when Davis joined Clutch Sports about will he join the Lakers and such. It seems likely that he's remaining loyal to the New Orleans Pelicans. But I believe this more than the, if I'll throw this at you, Nick, do you believe this more than, you know, Jimmy Butler and Kyrie teaming up? Because he's had a few words about that where he said that that's been a little bit overblown. What do you think has more credence, so to speak?
I don't know. I don't know whether it's a, I'm thinking of this with my head or my heart or, you know, being a little bit naive, but I don't really see Davis leaving the Pelicans. Like, he should, and it would be a smart basketball move to move to a bigger franchise, being the, you know, the type of, the caliber of player that he is. It would be a very smart move to go to the Celtics, go to the Sixers, go to, like, New York, big market teams, because he can draw. But I don't see it. Like, it's a similar thing I said with LeBron. Like, I couldn't picture him in a Lakers jersey.
Yeah.
But I could definitely picture him in a Rockets jersey.
Yep.
I think it's more or less the similar thing, but that, you know, that proved out to be completely wrong. So you've heard it here first. Anthony Davis is going to the Celtics because I don't think it'll happen.
And the opposite always happens with Nick's life. He's exactly like George Costanza and Seinfeld. But
damn right.
Nick, before we move on, we had a nice long chat about Kyrie Irving's status with the Celtics. He came out and sort of confirm those comments. He was listening to the podcast, obviously.
Well, that could strengthen the, I mean, obviously listen to the podcast, obviously. But that could just strengthen the Celtics' stance, I guess, on getting Davis. You know, he's a, you know, top five point guard in the league, and you are a top five player in the league. Make some magic, you know.
Yeah, during a interview with Brian Scalabrine at the TD Garden. With Gordon Hayward.
Brian Scalabrine.
White mama, baby. He literally came out of his seat and was standing up and said, if you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing here. So he's clearly subscribed on iTunes, guys. If you guys aren't either, well, you know, get on board with Kyrie. But yeah, Kyrie with Boston is going to be a long-term thing, as we've all predicted. But speaking of my boy, me personally, Nick, I need to rescind my comments on Kyrie Irving as he apologizes for his flat earth comments. Nick, you give me your opinion on if I've been too hard on Kyrie.
I mean, you definitely have. Like, he said some stupid things, but there's always a method in his madness. There's always, you know, there's another phrase similar to method behind madness about chaos. And my brain's not working today, so I'll let you guys figure that out. but... Yeah, I mean, he came out last year and was just like, in an interview, he's like, the interview question was, do you believe in this, you know, flat earth thing? And he didn't say yes, obviously, he doesn't. But the whole purpose of this lie, I guess, was to not believe everything that you're told. And he voiced that. He said that he wanted kids to find their own truths. And I'm like, you know what, Matt, you are deep. You are a very smart individual, and Nick, I always maintained that he was a very smart individual. I mean, if kids know that the Earth is round, and then a superstar, someone like a teacher, for example, if a teacher tells them something that they know is wrong, then it enforces seeking your own truth, researching yourself, learning, self-learning. It's very important, Jack.
I'm not. I'm all about Nick. I am a teacher, so exactly. Like inquisitive learners, inquisitive thinkers are an important part of, you know, science and the world we live in. But the difference between, like, it's dangerous to lead them down a false path where things that have already been established as fact and going, well, just look into the just
yes, yeah, but that, that's important though, because like something is minuscule, because this isn't like. This isn't spreading, you know, propaganda. This isn't like hurting anyone. This is it's not a white lie, but it's a harmless lie that if they choose to believe it, then fine.
I disagree, Nick.
If they're just like, oh well, you know, that's different to what I've been told my whole life. You know, you're a kid, you're susceptible, and then you're just like, you go out and find out these things for yourself. It's like, okay, well, I need to have confidence in me, in my learning, in my ability. And I think it's good. I actually think it's good.
I think there's elements of it that are good, but I think you're being a little bit naive to the fact that teachers, journalists, scientists, these people are paid and have a history and go to college and go to university and go to high school to learn how to teach facts. Their job is to teach other people the facts. Yes, there's going to be, you know, misconstrued. There might be some white lies along the way, like you mentioned. But the fact that some people are taking the truths from a basketball player over those from teachers, over those from journalists, is something that I don't really like. And the fact that Kyrie came out and apologized, and he said this, and I quote, "To all the science teachers, everybody coming up to me like, you know, I've got to reteach my whole curriculum. I'm sorry. I apologize. So I respect that from Kyrie. He did go to Duke University, one of the most famous universities in the entire world. So I take the apology, but Kyrie, he should have said it in the first place, because kids he might be one of the most popular figures in the NBA when it comes to with younger kids. Look at Uncle Drew. His basketball shoe is probably one of the most popular outside of like the LeBrons and the Air Jordans. He's a very kid friendly. Him and like Stephen Curry, they're like the two guys that you go to. They've got the handles, they're a bit shorter. They're something you could sort of aspire to. So relatable, that's just why they're a lot more relatable. But we shall move on. But we are still on the Celtics because it's Celtics fever here at JBT this week.
Apparently.
Yes. Bill Simmons, noted Celtics fan on Jalen and Jacoby, made a guest appearance. The Celtics are built for 63-67 wins next season. Now, you don't have to give away an exact number, Nicholas, because our big, massive season preview episode is coming out next week. Make sure you guys are checking out that one. But what do you think on Mr. Simmons' comments?
I don't mind. My initial thought was, of course Bill Simmons is saying this. He's a bloody Celtics fan. He's from Boston himself. Having a look a little bit deeper, I guess. And you know, you don't even have to look that deep. You just have to, you know, spend a minute pondering exactly what the Celtics are. If you know your basketball, or if you know in general, their starting lineup is tremendous, assuming no injuries and all that. Not only do they have great depth in Rozier, in Smart, even Ogilvy to an extent. Morris is good off the bench. You got Baines. Crazy. Exactly. Crazy. Like, their bench unit is very strong. They've got the depth. They've got the starters. They've got the star power. And they've got the system and the coach. Like, what else do you possibly need? That is exactly what Golden State had in their first season. They had the system. They've got they had the bench, and they had the starters. Like, the starters, I mean, not to the same caliber, obviously. And we're not saying they're going to win 73 wins. We're saying 65 plus. And I definitely think that they are built for it. When doing it is another story. A lot of things can hinder a team's performance in rest, DMPs, injury, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics have the greatest regular season record. The best regular season record. Houston did last season. I think they were at about 65 wins. The Warriors, we know, sort of are a little bit lackadaisical through the regular season. Maybe the Boogie Cousins acquisition sort of changes that a little bit. Draymond Green probably wanting to reestablish himself and get that max contract, similar with Clay. They might be a bit more reinvigorated. But Nick, what do you think? Before we move on to Jimmy Butler, who's still in the freaking news, do you think that the Celtics or the Warriors or the Rockets, who do you think will have the greatest regular season record? As a little bit of a precursor to our season preview.
Well, the Celtics being built for 63-67, that's a fact. I think that is a straight-up fact. Okay, who is going to, you know, pip that top record? I think if anyone, it's going to be an East team, especially considering the quality of Boston, and I don't see anyone else finishing top in the East other than Boston, given their... I would have to have a look at their division, because off the top of my head, it's Toronto, Philly. No, Philly, both New York teams, I think they're in there in that division.
And Toronto as well.
Yeah. So they've got a pretty decent, pretty difficult division, actually. But the East itself is meh compared to where the Celtics are. And obviously they're not going to be playing as many West teams where the likes of maybe even a Lakers could pip them in a regular season game. I honestly think that they might tip the best, but I can't tip away from the from either the Rockets or the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors are just consistently good. They've shown no signs of slowing down. That's the thing. They've no signs of slowing down. As soon as I see something, then you know I'll give it to Boston. It's the same with LeBron. As soon as you show me when he starts to slow down, then I'll take back my pick for MVP or take back my pick for Finals MVP on and how well he can go into the. Yeah, and all these accolades. Yeah. As soon as you can show me that he can slow down, that's when I'll take it back.
Yeah, Tracy McGrady on the jump this week actually said that he thinks the Celtics will win the championship. I remember we had a bit of a debate about it myself and how I was sort of giving the Celtics some more credence. But again, season preview episode, guys, if you want to get in some questions, your own takes, you know, jbtpodcast@gmail.com, slide into my DMs at the JMNJBT on Twitter. But Nicholas, Jimmy Butler still hasn't been freaking traded.
I know.
I don't know what's going on, mate.
I remember 2 weeks when we were planning an episode, it was just like, I think we postponed on the Sunday and we're like, all right, maybe the trade will happen. You know, that gives the trade a little bit more time to percolate.
Lucky we didn't postpone it two freaking weeks.
That's right, It still hasn't happened.
No content for the fans. But the reported deal on the table surrounding Jimmy Butler and the Heat, which seems somewhat likely, is a win-win for both teams. Now, for those that don't know, the deal that is apparently on the table, and this is going Minnesota's way via Miami. Bam Adebayo, Josh Richardson, and a protected first rounder, and Miami obviously received Jimmy Butler. What do you think of that trade, Nicholas? Obviously, the Clippers are still in it. With Tobias Harris, apparently, the Clippers aren't wanting to put him on the table. Your Wizards are apparently
Wiz Nation with Otto Porter. If we can relieve ourselves of that contract, that would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to we'll rank the sort of packages, so to speak. But tell me what you think about this Minnesota Miami trade and the deal that's on the table.
Well, win-win with Adebayo, Richardson, and a protected first round if that does eventuate. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a win-win. I reckon Miami are giving up quite a bit for him.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that Jimmy Butler can reach the heights that he can anymore. Like he showed at the Bulls. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I've lost confidence in Jimmy Butler. I think his last season at the Bulls, when he was unhappy, didn't play amazingly. If it seems like he's stagnated for the past maybe three seasons, if my memory's serving me. From a guy who's toted to be, you know, MVP caliber level, hasn't even gotten to the top five MVP voting in the past X amount of years, you know?
He could have been there last year if it wasn't for injury, I think.
But it's all part of basketball. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's why I'm skeptical about Kawhi Leonard. Can Kawhi Leonard go back to where he was? I've got more faith in Kawhi Leonard than I do in with Jimmy Butler. I'm not sure that Jimmy Butler showed me enough that he can. I mean, we touched on this last week, didn't we? Someone said that if Jimmy Butler's your number one guy, you're never winning a championship.
Correct.
I don't remember what I said, but now I tend to agree. Maybe my opinion changed in a week. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Miami are giving up a bit too much. With a first round pick, and Bam Adebayo is a great player, I think.
And Josh Richardson, is underrated. Well. I think Bam in Minnesota would be nice personally.
From a Minnesota perspective, sure. Like you're getting rid of a null. He's essentially a null factor for Minnesota because he's not going to be playing, and if he does, he's not going to be playing well because he's not happy. And the package you're getting, first round pick. Bam and Richardson, that's a good deal for Minnesota.
It's a quality deal.
Yeah.
And if you're Miami, maybe you have to bite that bullet to get a star because Pat Riley's always been on the look for it. For the OTG's top 50 NBA players, we had Jimmy Butler at number 11. Our top 10 will be coming out in the coming days. So we rate him very highly.
That's
at
very
OTG.
High. Yeah, that is very high.
He's ahead of the likes of Chris Paul at number 12, ahead of Lillard at 13, and Paul George at 14. There's been plenty of debate around that. If you guys want to hit us up on Twitter as well, at OGG Basketball, there's been plenty of debate happening. We've got some love as well. But in terms of the Wizards, I think the Wizards would be remiss to not get themselves in the race. I like that the fact that they're throwing their name in the ring. I think that my Nets will be lurking. You know, if you know Tom Thibodeau and Scott Layden are sort of waning in their interest, I think Sean Marks could pounce on that with his sort of savviness. But we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully it happens in the next
week. Yeah, I know. Like, it's just been like, will it happen today? No. And then it's just every day.
Lots of other outlets have been doing their season previews. I'm glad we're doing ours late because then we can sort of, hopefully by next week, which will be like 2 or 3 days before the NBA season, then we can go, okay, well, Jimmy Butler is now on the Miami Heat. We can grade accordingly about where we think each team will finish with Minnesota. But thank God we can move on to a different topic. Outside of Golden State, Nicholas, the favorites to land Kevin Durant in free agency are the New York Knicks. This is via a report from reporter Chris Haynes, who has an established relationship with KD. Has had a couple of interviews with him. And I mean, I'm a little bit in on it. I would say outside of Golden State, they are the favorites. So for me, this is a fact, Nick.
It's outside of Golden State is the key word there, isn't it?
Phrase, Nicholas. It's more than one word, my friend.
Oh, well, phrase. You and your technicalities. Anyway, it's a surefire thing, I think, that he's going to stay with, ride this Golden State wave, accumulate as many championships as he can, and even just playoff experience because they'll be getting to the finals every year, I think. Assuming that another colossal injury happens to Chris Paul. But I think the Rockets have weakened this year. So I am a huge advocate in Golden State getting to the finals, and that's not a hot take at all. So it makes sense that KD is going to ride this wave for as long as he possibly can and then try and pursue something that LeBron has done. You know, pick up a team on your own. You know, start from maybe not scratch because you've still got the likes of Porzingis, but if you join a 500-win team, take them to a championship or even just to an NBA Finals, that is a huge boost on his resume. And I think it would be stupid not to do it. Somewhere like New York, I mean, assuming that Fizdale's still there, I'm not sure on the rapport in Fizdale and Kevin Durant, but by all reports, Fizdale is amazing with coaches. With players. He's a very much a players coach. And for someone like KD, I think that's very beneficial. Let KD do KD things and keep him happy. Because he's a very feelsy man. And Fizdale will fight tooth and nail for him, for all his players.
Everyone except for Marc Gasol, obviously. But I think that Kevin Durant to the Knicks, I think, would be a wonderful storyline for the NBA. And I think that if he were to go there, then it would give the Knicks some real cachet. Mm-hmm. We know his agent, Rich Kleiman, is a massive New York fan. We know KD, like you mentioned, mate, is a little bit of a different cat when it comes to sort of getting up in his feelings, a little bit Drake-esque, so to speak. So I don't hate it. And I think that, like you mentioned, Nick, if he were to get a championship with the Knicks, it would be like LeBron getting that 2016 championship with the Caps. It would just change the narrative around him. Not that like LeBron needed changing the narrative, so to speak, because he sort of changed that himself. But for KD, he might even be starting to change that narrative a little bit himself, because the big moment that happened this week in terms of Kevin Durant wasn't just that sort of news. It was him pulling on that Sean Kemp Seattle Sonics jersey pregame in Seattle. Which was a really nice moment, and a lot of fans.
You see that one fan that was just like, "You better get that three-peat, man!" Like the Seattle fan.
And I think I would, as a personal. I mean, we've obviously followed basketball not for as long. We haven't been immersed in basketball culture for as long, but to see Seattle get back a team and imagine KD pulling on a Sonics jersey again, that'd be pretty fun. But I think we'll move on, Nicholas, because still on KD, Max Kellerman, one of your favorites, on Get Up.
Yeah,
Colin Cowherd, actually, in relation to the Heat trade, if you haven't seen the video, type in Colin Cowherd, Jimmy Butler. He doesn't know who Bam Adebayo is, And the fact that he gets like paid millions of dollars to report on basketball and give his opinion is disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I'll leave that at that. But still on KD, Nicholas, Max Kellerman on GetUp iterated that Durant won't be a top five player for much longer.
Well, I mean, like people like this who will attack KD, and KD's getting constant attacks, you know, something like this. Something like moving to New York and doing amazing things there, which he will, because this is a hard alternative fact, won't be a top five player for much longer. It's ludicrous. Especially if he moves to New York and does the things that he will do. Like, it's... Nah, it... Ah, God!
Yeah,
This sort of stuff really annoys me, and you could tell from the video, like, there is, if you should check it out, the Get Up clip. It's on Twitter, it's on the YouTubes. Just use the Googles and you will the find
stop
it.
Stop pluralizing all of these social medias, you bum.
But yeah, it's so hot takey, and it's just there for its shock factor, because he will be a top five player for many years to come, for as long as LeBron is a top five player.
It's funny seeing. I'll let you have a deep breath, Nicholas. Have a drink of water. It's all right, mate. Things will be all right. But our top 10 will be coming up. And hint, hint, Kevin Durant is definitely in the top five. I won't give away his exact position. But there have been some lists coming out. Obviously, none as good as OTG's. But, you know, they're having, like, Durant at, like, fourth and fifth. Some had him at sixth. And I'm just like, do you guys watch basketball? Like,
people frothing over Anthony Davis right now. Fair enough. He's an amazing, amazing player. He's not better than Kevin Durant at the moment.
No, he's not.
No, like, he's not.
I feel like you could make more of an argument for the fact that Kevin Durant is better than LeBron James, and you can say that Anthony Davis is better than Kevin Durant. That's just my personal opinion, and the fact that Kevin Durant has two Finals MVPs for the best team maybe in the history of the sport,
uh-huh.
and he has usurped LeBron in status of being just like the clutch guy. I'm not saying that LeBron still isn't the best player in the game today and is a likely favorite for MVP, but I think that margin is a lot closer than, say, Anthony Davis to LeBron James and stuff. It's just, you know, everyone rides the new storyline, the new narrative, and, you know, our MVP picks, you know, I might have a new one myself, but the MVP does relate very heavily to storyline. We'll give our picks. If you guys have got your picks for MVP, we'd like to hear them. Just scroll back about, like, you know, 2 minutes. You'll hear me plug it, or wait till the end of the episode. Nick will give the spiel.
Uh-huh.
But, Nick, this was a very big moment earlier in the week. It took over Twitter, took over Facebook. We posted it literally twice, because I posted it. Then you posted it.
And then
it,
I posted it, yeah.
And it got love both times. I don't know. I'm like, why wouldn't people just scroll back 3 hours and see the exact same post? But the Kobe Bryant flinch moment with Matt Barnes was a lie. Hashtag fake mama.
Hashtag.
You are fake news.
Hashtag fake news, mate. Fake news. Wow. I mean, there's two parts. I mean, there's an obviously the down low shot where it looks like it's just directly in his face. And yes. Then... There's another one, obviously, from the top, bird's eye, fish fingers, where he throws the ball. He makes him flinch. He doesn't. He actually doesn't flinch. That's the whole point. But he's sort of swaying, like Kobe's just swaying from side to side, like he's shuffling his feet and he's moving from side to side, and then. As he leans onto, and I've analysed this video, as you may have already.
Just slightly.
He's leaned onto his left side, and then, who throws the ball? I don't even.
Matt Barnes.
Yeah, Matt Barnes. That's right. That's right. And then Barnesy throws, fakes the ball to Kobe's right.
Yeah.
So, not only is Kobe moving away from the ball, it's, like, it still ends up pretty close to his face. Like, if you see the freeze frame, it's still fairly close to his face. But I think because he's leaning away from it as he does it, it lessens the effect that much. That being said, I would have flinched.
I mean,
you know, I still would have flinched.
I mean, well, we know that we pale in comparison to the Mamba, the man who probably doesn't deserve as much credit and kudos as he gets due to his off. but off-court exploits, but we won't go into that. We'll focus on the Kobe Flinch saga, so to speak. Matt Barnes put it into the bait, apparently. There's the gift that's going around. As far as I know, that shit went in his face and he didn't flinch. Kobe had his say. I was swaying. He did it and I didn't balk. I hate Kobe Bryant, so I'm going as a fact. everything that... I'm a LeBron stan, so it'd be wrong of me to side with Kobe. And for those that, you know, want to avoid the whole off-court exploits of Kobe Bryant is a near-convicted rapist. So I think that all the kudos that he gets, I think it needs to be said on a public forum that it's other than Twitter with a simple tweet. Kobe doesn't deserve to get all this love. Neither does Lance Stephenson to an extent. But you guys can do your own research, as Nick advocated for earlier. But we shall move on. Still with the Lakers, though. Still in Lakers land. Via first things first. I mean, I'm a LeBron stan, but this is a little ridiculous. If LeBron does win MVP next season, it would be like his fourth championship, Nicholas. What do you got?
Nothing compares to a championship.
No.
Nothing compares to a championship. Like, he's won MVPs before. He's won finals MVPs before. I mean, it would be a tremendous... So I think that it would be a tremendous effort for him to win MVP, to the point where I don't think he will win MVP this year. And, I mean, we'll touch on the survey, the GM survey, a little bit later, but a lot of people are saying that, you know, a lot of people have him favorite. And I don't quite understand that. I don't quite understand people thinking that the Lakers are going to be like a top four team next year, which, you know, you would have to be a top four team in the West to be considered MVP, unless you're doing...
Russ got one.
I mean, yeah, well, that's right. I mean, unless you're doing above and beyond historical things. And I don't think LeBron's going to do that. I honestly think that this is a transitional year for him. I don't think he'll be up with the stats as much as people think that he will. He'll be a great facilitator and more or less aid in the development of ball when he comes back. Brandon Ingram, who I'm super high on this year. You got Kuz, you've got bloody Hart, Josh Hart. Yeah. Rondo has a part in that as well. The three ball handlers, I was a bit concerned on how they're going to work together, but I saw a couple plays in preseason. Being preseason, you know, no one cares, but it's promising to see the ball zip around like that. Like, Lakers' movement is very good at the moment in preseason. But does winning an MVP here, is that similar to a fourth championship? No, of course not. Of course not. That, like, oh, man, when he wins a championship, that'll be his fourth championship.
I mean, if he wins a championship, I think it's we gloss over the fact that, you know, there are plenty of teams on the rise, be it in the East or the West. The LeBron factor is still real. We saw that, and you sort of alluded to the fact that until LeBron does show any signs of waning, then there's no reason to bet against him.
I mean, that's so what I think this year will be. I think this year will be like, has LeBron slowed down? And then next year, he will annihilate the league. He will win MVP.
Yeah, I mean, we did a Lakers preview pod for the NBA outlet, for OGG Basketball. Talked a little bit about LeBron's status as one of the game's best, how long he will last. Have a listen to that. But I think complete alternative fact. You know,
you can't
decrease the importance and gravity of a championship to compare it to an MVP. You know, Charles Barkley, Steve Nash won MVPs. Yep. You know, it doesn't make them any better than, you know, a Michael Jordan or a Kevin Durant in that sort of sense. Mm. So I think the fourth championship, how likely do you think, Nicholas, if you were giving me a percentage, you know, LeBron's got, let's say, five seasons left. Does he win a championship? Like, give me a percentage chance that you think LeBron can win a championship in his remaining career in the NBA.
It's
a hard one.
A percentage chance of the Lakers winning a championship in the next 4 years, essentially, you say.
Essentially, on this contract, yeah.
50%?
50%? Yeah. That's pretty bloody high.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking higher, and then I sort of reserved myself. I'm like, yeah, there's a 50-50 shot that he'll win it. Because he will get to NBA finals. He will get to he will get to conference finals at the very least. In the second season, maybe the Warriors aren't the same team, and all Brandon Ingram, you know, makes, you know, all, he's making consistent All-Star games by that point. You know, Lonzo Ball could be the same. The ceiling is there for this team, especially when you add in the likes of LeBron. And fortune, essentially, if 50-50, this is where the fortune may favor the Lakers. You may get, I don't wish it upon anyone, and I know it's something stupid to hang on to, but fortunate injuries can happen, even if both teams are at full strength, you know, assuming that, you know, natural progression of the league in 2 years, which never happens. I mean, people move all the time. For all you know, the Suns might be a championship contender in 2 years. Who knows? It's the NBA. Anything can happen. So that's why it's so hard to predict things, you know, so far into the future. But that's why I'm giving it a 50-50 shot. I definitely think that given the ceiling of this team, given LeBron and his longevity in the league, I think he's still got another good 2 years in him this season, next season, then after that, we'll see. And so I definitely think, especially if they make a high playoff push, if they make it to the playoffs and win first round, that would be huge for the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't give it as high as a take because I think that there are two teams, you know, bona fide that are going to be championship contenders for the next 4 years in the Celtics and the Sixers. Mm-hmm. I think Utah has a very good chance. I think Denver has a low-key good chance. It depends on what happens in Golden State and how the Lakers build around LeBron and, you know, Ingram to an extent. So I think it's a big take, Nick, and I'll definitely be putting that in the promos for when I'm promoting the episode. But Nicholas, in relation to that GM survey that you did allude to, there were no real surprises in the results from said survey that was released, you know, just a couple of days ago. What do you think? Any surprises?
I'm alternative fact on this. Like, there's a couple that are obviously, like, a given, like, best team in the NBA, like, Golden State received almost every single vote. Like, if you look at, like, top four in the Eastern Conference, in both conferences, there's no real, like, takes there. What I found fascinating was MVP. 30% of GMs picking LeBron James, then 27 Kevin Durant, and then a pretty steep drop off there for Anthony Davis, 17%. But 30% on LeBron James. What do these GMs know that I don't? What are they thinking that Lakers are going to be a fifth seed in the West, a fourth seed? Like, I don't see that happening.
I think there's a chance, but I think that you can't underestimate the gravity of LeBron James. And no matter what, whoever wins MVP, the past decade, he has been the best player in the league. It doesn't matter who wins the MVP. Like, you know, people have stolen MVPs away from LeBron James. You know, Derrick Rose's first MVP in 2011 or 2010. You know, people were just like, well, I guess we're just not giving one to LeBron anymore.
Yeah.
It's the narrative surrounding. And I think that maybe, you know, the year before, people, the GMs had LeBron James at 50%. Obviously, James Harden won it. So it's all about narrative, and we'll be giving our takes next week. Again, season preview episode. But I think the margin between him and Durant shows what we're talking about in terms of their sort of, they have a stranglehold on the sort of status of the game's best players.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe that's how they were sort of thinking about it. These are the two best players. One of them will win the MVP.
Yeah.
And other people were probably thinking, well, here's the narrative surrounding Anthony Davis and James Harden can go back-to-back or Stephen Curry or Kyrie Irving or whatever. So
I mean,
I agree. That one was a little bit surprising.
I mean, another one that I found surprising was the not so much like if you were starting a franchise today and you could sign any NBA player, who would it be? Not so much who populated that list, but who didn't populate that list. Karl-Anthony Towns did not get a single vote.
Yep.
Having led it last year with 29% of GMs taking Karl-Anthony Towns to start an NBA franchise with. Not a single vote, Jack. That is surprising.
It's insane. I think that we've talked about, do people sleep on Towns a little bit? Yeah, probably, because he is one of the most talented big men in the game, but he lacks that sort of, from at least from outside perspective, that drive and that sort of killer instinct that guys like Joel Embiid, possess that, you know, Kevin Durant, LeBron James possess that sort of clutch gene, so to speak. He can't drag, like, say next season, Minnesota's chances to go to the playoffs with Karl Anthony Towns as their franchise player seem kind of low. But if he can do that, then I think he will bring his name back up on that list. He is still very young, but I have to agree with the GMs here. You know, they had Giannis at number one and Anthony Davis at number two.
I mean, that's who I'd be picking, if not maybe LeBron James.
It depends, like, you know, if you're starting a franchise.
Wait, does this mean, we get 18-year-old LeBron and go through his thing, or we get LeBron right now?
No, you get him right now.
You're
going to Seattle, and you get to pick a player to be a sort of franchise guy. So I think that's why people would pick Giannis and Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
some people,
the young
some
guns,
GM,
yeah.
Yeah, some GMs having Kevin Durant, Steph, and LeBron James. You know, those guys are just all worldly, and, you know, in terms of marketing ability, you know, if you're a GM and you can have those guys for a season or two, it could save your job. But definitely take a look at those guys. They're on NBA.com. Very fascinating read. But we'll get to a couple last ones, Nicholas. And this is via one of our, I wish we could say good friend of the podcast, but a person we like, Shea Serrano of The Ringer, on the Ring NBA podcast. And I quote, this is what he said. I would much rather have DeMar because DeMar doesn't come with all of the baggage that Jimmy comes with now. Nicholas, we talked a little bit about Jimmy.
I mean, going where? Like, I need some context here. So, like, I'd rather have DeMar just on any generic team, as in, like, just say, like, on any team that you support, you'd rather
have... You can interpret this how you see fit, my friend.
Okay. I'll have some fun with it. Would I rather DeMar? I mean, DeMar starts the year every year with MVP votes under his belt, doesn't he? I mean, he seems to come out of the block so strongly, and then everyone else seems to catch up after that. Whereas, I mean, I've made this very clear before. Jimmy, I don't think has that caliber anymore. Like, I'm not saying that DeMar's going to be an MVP next year or whatever, but DeMar has shown me improvements in his game every season, whether it be his passing, whether it be his dribbling, his three-point ability. Like, his confidence outside from the perimeter last year was so much higher than any other season he's ever played. And so, yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree with him. I'd probably give it a not what's below a fact Wikipedia fact. Man, I'm forgetting my own scale. It's a very confusing scale.
That it is.
Yeah, I'd probably give this a wiki fact because I am not so sure that DeMar shares, like, is mutually exclusive in his traits to Jimmy. So, like, I can see a lot of sort of. I'm sort of contradicting myself a little bit, but anyway, I'm agreeing with you, Shay. If you're listening, which I know you are not. I am agreeing with you because there is a lot of baggage that Jimmy comes with.
He can't be listening right now, Nicholas, because we're recording live, but he is subscribed to iTunes, guys.
That's fair.
Blog.radio, the rest.
Amen.
I agree with all the things that you say, Nick. I think Jimmy Butler's a better player right now. I do think DeMar can be better.
See, I don't know if I'd say that.
Look, I'm just
I know that you rate. I know that you rate Jimmy quite highly, and obviously the people at OTG do as well. I don't know if I agree. I don't know if I strictly agree with that. I think DeMar's playoff performances are really letting him down.
And that's, for me, you know, what came into account when we were going through our top 50, which took quite a while, guys. We don't just dilly-dally and put them together. We also, you know, went through our player power rankings that, you know, myself and Corey Waldron went through in relation to the OTG staff who, you know, gave their votes for best shooting guards and the rest. So, I mean, I think DeMar on San Antonio is going to be really fun and really fascinating. I'm really looking forward to that and how Pop, one of the best coaches, probably the best coach of all time, can unlock from this new style of DeMar. You know, I think that we'll get some slashing DeMar back. I think that I would agree. I'll probably give it a wiki as well because you can't give it a full fact because Jimmy next season could be the perfect teammate.
Well, and that's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that... And the reason why we rate Jimmy so highly is because of his two-way ability, you know, outside of Kawhi Leonard.
That's fair.
probably the best two-way player in the game, is clutch when it comes to performances. You know, when you want a bucket, you generally, and that's not to say DeMar isn't, he had a few moments last season as well, but I think, you know, you prove it in the biggest moments, and I think Jimmy has done that just a little bit more. We had DeMar DeRozan at number 24, just behind Karl Anthony Towns, and just in front of your boy Bradley Beal. And so he was in that, you know, he's certainly in the top half of our range, but we will get to a player who definitely isn't on our top 50 list, but is equally important to his team's chances. Andre Roberson's knee surgery, Nicholas, will leave the Thunder behind the eight ball to start the 2018-19 season.
100%. 100%. Yeah. We saw the impact, the sheer impact of Andre Roberson on what he had on that Thunder team when he went down initially. We discussed it in saying that his defense, the defense that he brought to the team, gave a lot of freedom to Paul George. And I think that is key. You know, you want Paul George to have as much freedom as he possibly can. If he's working twice as hard on the defensive end, which he can do, I mean, he's an amazing defensive player, then that shows, that starts to show in his offense.
Yeah,
you know, and we saw that towards the end of the season. The Thunder weren't winning as many games. They weren't as productive because they weren't getting as much out of Paul George as they were at the start of the season. I think he is a linchpin in that team, and the sooner they get him back, the better.
Yeah, it's certainly worrying, and it apparently will have him out for 2 extra months. So, you know, if we're in October now, he doesn't get back in November, December. You know, you certainly, and with the, we talked about the Russell Westbrook cleanup surgery, it's certainly not ideal for the Thunder. And I've been very high on them, especially, you know, writing a few articles for OTG. I think I may have to, I'm glad we've done our season preview episode a little bit later, because this allows me to reevaluate of sorts. And I think that's the beauty of basketball. You can reevaluate your takes. You can admit you're wrong. We've been wrong on many occasions.
I mean, I was listening back to our season preview for this season, and boy, did I get some calls wrong.
We will definitely revisit those. I'm definitely going to get the doc up. I'll start the template, but I'm looking forward to hearing how incorrect we were in so many different ways. Pretty sure I had Rodney Hood as most improved player.
You did have Rodney Hood. I had Jazz missing the playoffs.
Well,
so I mean, who saw Donovan Mitchell? Like we didn't even, I was listening to it today, we didn't even have Ben Simmons as our Rookie of the Year. Neither of us.
Oh my God. We are Australian.
I can't remember who you had, but I had I had De'Aaron Fox as Rookie of the Year. You had Lonzo Ball, that's right. You had Lonzo Ball as Rookie of the Year.
Lonzo Ball, wow.
I know, like, you look back now and you're just like, what the hell?
Holy crap, a year changes a lot for our basketball takes. I've been doing a lot of writing, guys. I promise you, I've become a lot better as a podcaster and a hot take man and an opinionated basketball mind. I'm certainly not great, but me and Nick, we balance each other out nicely, and we promise to have you better takes than that for next season. But yeah, let us know yours, guys. Nick will give you all the contact details in the spiel. It's going to be a really fun episode. I'll be back home in Melbourne, so I'll be, you know, next to Nick. I can see his beautiful face. He can see my long hair. It'll be a wonderful experience for you guys and for us.
Beautiful. Lovely. That just about does it for another week. Bit of a shorter episode here at JBT, but we will be back at you next week with all the pre-season goodness.
Yeah. Good, Nick. Yep. Good.
I'm good. And I'm reading a script as well. That's real. That's saying something. So just like to say thank you for tuning in to another episode of Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast. I still need to endeavor to find out how we do Spotify.
If you know, guys, let us know.
I know that there's a problem in Australia with Google Play Music and putting Android podcasts, because it's not available in Australia. But, you know, I haven't looked into Spotify yet. You can contact us at the JManJBT is Jack, or at JBT Nick on Twitter. You could also hit up at OTG Basketball. We can read a lot of NBA articles written by Jackie and a lot of other contributors there. So it's some fire content on OTG. We've got Facebook, search Just Ball Things, you'll find us. JBTpodcast@gmail.com is our email address as well. We'll read those emails on the show, give you a cheeky shout out. So remember, it's you guys that make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep Lonzo balling, superstars.